and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse number 32. The Lord Jesus, last time we saw two blind men came to him. They cried unto him, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when the Lord Jesus Christ arrived at his location, the place where he was going, they had followed him there, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And they said, "Yea, Lord, yes, we believe you can." He touched them, and he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Now understand that the faith is not in themselves. It's not anything in this world or this life. But it was the faith and biblical faith and scriptural faith is always focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus asked it there, of course. He tells us, "Believe that I am able to do this." Their faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so their eyes were immediately opened and they could see. And he told them, "Don't tell any man." But they spread his fame abroad. They couldn't help but tell it. When their friends, when their kin, when their neighbors, when their family would ask him, "What happened? How is it that you can see now?" They couldn't help but tell what had happened and who had done it. And so we come to verse 32, and they went out. And as they went out, behold, they brought unto him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And so this is the next one in line. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." Had there ever been healings? Well, yeah, there had been healings in Israel. Had there been miracles done? Yes, yes. But compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ did, they were few and far between. And they were, not to take away from anything that the Lord had done with the moving of the water at Bethesda or the different miracles that have been performed by different ones over the course of the centuries. But the Lord was so prolific. There was not anything, any illness or any demon in which he was thwarted. He cast out all and he healed all without any necessity for time, without the use of any medication. He just healed. He healed. And that's the way the Lord does. He saves instantly. He heals instantly. And when it is done by the Lord, he does it very, very well. "It was never so seen in Israel," they declared. But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of devils." So here the religious leadership being grousing around and being all bothered and troubled by the Lord. They're jealous of the Lord. They come up with an idea. They say, "Well, we have understanding now. He's doing these miracles by the power of the prince of the devils, by Satan," is what they're saying. In other gospels, it declares unto us that they said Beelzebub, and so that is of Satan himself. "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." It goes on to say here, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." And so here in this particular account, this gospel, it doesn't tell us what the Lord Jesus Christ's reply was to them regarding this accusation that he cast out devils through the prince of the devils by the power of Satan. The Lord simply asked the question, "Can a house divided against itself stand?" And the answer is no. No house divided against itself will stand. He asked them the question, "If I, by the finger of God, he's telling the truth about how he does it. "If I, by the finger of the power of the finger of God, cast out demons, by whose power do your sons cast them out?" And so they're accusing him of casting them out by the prince of the devil, Satan's power. It's unrealistic to think that any house divided against itself, that Satan would not cast out his own for a show. No one that is in a fight or no army kills their own to make an advantage, to gain an advantage over the enemy, do they? And so the Lord says it's just folly to think that that would be the case. And if I do cast out demons so prolifically, so many times, the ones that others cannot cast out, Jesus can cast out. If I do that, and you're accusing me of casting them out by the power of Satan, then how do your sons, when they do cast them out, by what power do they do so? And so the Lord takes and challenges them, if I am doing so greatly and so powerfully, so wondrously, all of these people are relieved from being possessed by these demons. They're relieved. They're brought to a better state. They're brought to salvation. They're brought to rescue. How is it that your sons do so? And so all these things answer themselves. Jesus is not doing so by the power of Satan. Satan would never look to compromise his own position in that way. There's no gain for him. Jesus is indeed casting out and did cast out these demons by the power of God, because he is God. God come in the flesh, as the scripture says. And so he goes out to the cities and the villages. He teaches in the synagogues. He's preaching the gospel of his kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease, it says there in verse 35, among the people. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Oh, I tell you what, the compassion of the Lord. God is a great God, and as the scripture says, a terrible God, in that his power and his majesty, his glory, is righteousness, his holiness is above anything that we can comprehend. On that part of it, the Lord is most, the scripture says in Hebrews, it's a fearful thing for the children of God to fall into the hands of the living God, and it is. But then the Lord Jesus, having come as a man, having loved as a man, loving his neighbor as himself, he exhibited that in the greatest way possible. He looks on at the people. He has compassion upon the people, praise God. And they're as sheep having no shepherd. And Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, and praise the Lord for such a shepherd as he. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. A harvest at hand, a harvest that needs to be reaped, a harvest that the only thing that is lacking in the reaping of the harvest are the laborers. You know, that's one of the reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ instituted his church, is that there would be a living organism, a body of baptized believers following the direction, the example, the teaching, the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do the labor, to perform the labor of finding the lost sheep of the Lord, to preach his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection into a lost and dying world, to gather in the harvest of those that the Lord saves through the preaching of his word. The greatness of the harvest is indeed at hand, and there's a need for laborers. The Lord Jesus himself says, pray for laborers, laborers into the harvest. You know, we think about this laborers for the harvest. Who will they be? Where will they come from? laborers for the harvest. Well, you know, there are those in the Lord's churches that are saved, but they're not busy about doing much of the business of the Lord Jesus Christ and taking their place in the church that the Lord has made them, made for them and taking the place that the Lord has made for them in that church. Many in our day look at a church as only an institution to serve them. How is it with you? Is your church just there just to minister to you? Or rather, is your church there not only to minister unto you, but a place for you to minister to? You know, our natural tendency is we just want to be takers. Takers, 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 takers. We don't want to be givers. We want to be waited on. We want to have everything prepared as before us as we come to the service. We want to come and challenge the pastor to bless us with the Word of God when we've had a bad week and we're all cross and grouchy. We just look at the brothers and sisters for them to fix the fellowship meals and to do all the things necessary to clean the bathrooms and clean the carpets and clean the pew that we sit in. We want to be takers. Takers. Be ministered to all the time, but never ministering ourselves. I tell you what, if you claim to be a child of God and a member of one of His New Testament Baptist churches, you need to minister there too. So of this laborers that the Lord says, there are those, my children, in my churches that are not doing the business that I gave them to do. That's one aspect of laborers that would be brought forth. Conviction unto the children of God that are already there in the body of the Lord, not serving Him, but just being a taker, not a giver. The other aspect is that there's laborers from those that the Lord saves. Those that the Lord visits and saves, He visits with His Word and His Spirit and saves their souls and even adds them to the church. Though they then become laborers of the very work, laborers within the work that came and reached them. That's the way it is for all of us. The ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the Lord came and was brought to us. It reached out to us. And being saved and becoming a member of one of the Lord's churches, we become a laborer ourselves to do the same thing over again. That's the way it is with the Great Commission. Preach the gospel to every creature, and the lost will hear and the Lord will save, baptize them that they might publicly identify with Christ. And then teach them to observe all things that the Lord Jesus has commanded us in the church, that they too might go forth and labor and be one of those harvesters in the harvest of our Lord. You see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.